Welcome back to the Profit Your Knowledge podcast. Today's guest is Rafi Shake. I practiced his name, so I know I got it right. But Rafi is a really cool dude. He's the founder and transformation coach at Peaceful Advisor Lifestyle Coaching, where he helps financial advisors who are burnt out, stressed, and want a fulfilling career and life to build a seven-figure lifestyle practice. And this is the cool part, take at least 100 days off every year. Now, I know that not everybody on the show is a financial advisor, but that's okay, because as Rafi and I were talking before we hit record, these things just apply to everyone, you know, productivity, saving time, be more efficient, everything. So we have a lot to unpack in this episode. I'm really excited about this. How are you doing today, Rafi?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, James.
Yeah, dude, pumped for this. So I want to hear a bit about your backstory. What made you decide to, number one, be an entrepreneur in the first place? Why didn't you just work at a desk job or do construction or something else? And how did that decision get you into doing what you're doing today, where you're teaching financial advisors and turning your knowledge into a business?
Yeah, it all started, I think, at a very young age. I've always been an entrepreneur myself. No one in the family was an entrepreneur before, but I learned and taught myself a lot of skills. I don't know, right from a very young age, like I was 8-10 years old, I was selling cookies, candies, those kind of things. I didn't realize at that point of time. Then along the way, I think I was 13 or 14, someone showed me Amway. I don't know if you know it. It's a multi-level marketing company. It's a direct marketing company where you sell the products. I attended one of their first presentations. I think I was 13. And I got so hooked to the concept of it, not to the products of the company, because I was so driven into the concept of money, making money. That led me on a journey of doing business. And I didn't want it to be a 9-to-5 desk guy. I valued freedom. Because when you are a 9-to-5 guy, you're basically trading time for money. And we all have, give or take, about 240,000 hours in our lifetime.
Wow.
Right? So we don't actually realize if on average, say, just give you a ballpark number, say $10, so in your lifetime, you're able to make like 2.4 million. That's it. That's where you hit the ceiling.
Wow.
And I didn't want it to be that guy. And I liked freedom. So when you are an entrepreneur, you do a lot of things. Your impact is bigger. You get a lot of freedom. You can think outside of the box. So those are the things that naturally gravitated, that actually pulled me towards entrepreneurship. That's how I got in.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then how did you pick your niche and kind of find your little nook in the internet in the world of doing financial advisors and doing what you're doing?
Yeah, that's such a great question. This goes back when I was, I'm an engineering graduate. So I went to school to do engineering, but graduated and never worked. Not even a single day being an engineer. I got my ring. That's it.
That's awesome.
So when I was in third year of my engineering degree, like our university, so someone showed me the stock markets, like how stock markets work. Like me being naturally the learner in me. Okay, so I don't have to physically work. This is like a combo for me, because I already don't want it to work for someone else. I wanted to work for myself so that I can multiply my hours. Because if 10 people are working with me, with me, and they all work for 8 hours, so I'm basically getting 80 hours of work. And if I'm putting that money back into the markets, then it's gonna quadruple that manpower. And I got hooked into it. So I went deeper and deeper into it. So that's how I got pulled into world of finance. Then I became a research analyst, then went and started on my own hedge fund with 4 other partners. So we were 5 of us. Things did not work out well. So that's life lesson number one and business lesson number one, I guess. Don't go into business where there are too many people involved, because difference of opinions. For some people, it might work, but it did not work out for me. And from there on, I've always been in some sort of advisory roles up until recently. I was running a very successful financial advisory business, which was generating seven-figure revenue, rolling year average revenue generating practice. Then a few mental and health things happened with me. That's when I realized, of course, like I'm being an entrepreneur, I'm generating a lot of money, I'm doing an impact to a certain level, but along this journey, I'm missing out on life. I'm not living life. Like I'm being strapped, like, you know, I'm being wrapped around my business. So it should be the other way around. My life is being wrapped around the business.
Yeah.
And that for me was a wake up call. And I went on a journey to discover. I've always been a seeker. When I get questions, I'm always on outlook for answers. So I go reference books, talk to people, you know, seek out answers and talk to other. So when I did all those things, I stumbled upon a lot of resources, which helped me to kind of build that lifestyle business where I am not like, where my business is not running me. I decided I want to run the business. Where I'm not bending over backwards for the clients like that most of the entrepreneurs do. You know, you work for 60, 70, 80 hours and you keep saying that to yourself, oh, it's only the beginning phase, only for the next 3 years, 5 years. And once you do that for 3 years, 5 years, then you realize that's already 10, 15 years.
Yeah. You're like, wait, this is how I make my income. So I have to keep doing this or double down if I want to grow it.
Exactly. Exactly. That's the mindset. And when I started doing these things, others were asking me, hey, how are you doing this? And when I was talking to others, I felt that a lot of advisors were struggling. Not that they're not good advisors. They're like great advisors. They just don't know how to run the business.
Yeah.
They just don't, because you don't know what you don't know. You don't have the tools, the resources, the strategies, like all those things which I discovered and which I learned and built the skill set for those things. There was a strong urge for me to get out there and spread this message. So I sold my business. So I said goodbye to the advisory world. So I'm not an advisor anymore. So now I help other advisors to fulfill their passion and go do what they wanted to do while not killing themselves, you know, and actually have a life while they're doing this.
Yeah, I love it, dude. What a cool story. Was it weird for you at all, or did it feel really natural going from, you know, everything else you were doing and making your income and seven-figure business and all that stuff, and then people being like, can you help me with this? And then you teaching them. I know that sometimes this can be a bit of a mental like challenge for people, a little bit of a mindset issue of like, well, I know how to do it, but I don't know how to teach it to people. Did you kind of run into that at all?
No, not actually, surprisingly. Yeah, now I look back. No, maybe because I've always been in teaching, you know, even in university and school, I was always being the tutor guy.
Mm.
Because early on I learned, I think when I was grade 9 or grade 10, I learned more by teaching.
Oh yeah, 100%. It's like the best way
and
to learn.
And I remembered and I retained more while I was teaching it to others. Yeah. So my natural tendency is to explain things. And I consider myself a good storyteller and I'm working on it still. So that was a natural transition for me. That's how it felt. It wasn't a weird or something. The only challenge I had was people were asking me for advice and I would give them, hey, this is what it is and you can go do this. Then they won't do anything. I would see them at the next conference the next year and they're stuck at the same business level. I would talk to them over LinkedIn or someplace after 2 years. They're still stuck at the same business level, still burnt out and all those things.
Yeah. That is like one of the ultimate challenges of a coach. It's like, it's the whole thing of you can bring a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. So what do? You make him thirsty. Yes. That's what you got to do. Make him thirsty. Okay. So the other kind of piece of that question too, because I know a lot of people can in this transition feel this way. Was it weird? Maybe it was easy for you to teach, but did you run into any sort of like personal friction asking for money or requesting money to teach these people? And did that help you make a bigger impact in them because they had skin in the game?
Yeah, I deliberately made sure that they had skin in the game. I would absolutely onboard someone. One, they want my help. And two, I'm 100% convinced that I would be able to help them.
Yeah.
If even one of those criteria is not, we are not able to meet, then we would part friends.
Yeah. It's not worth
because,
it.
Because, yeah, for me, I believe in quality rather than quantity. I'm good with even coaching, you know, a few dozen advisors rather than preaching it to masses.
Mm. Yeah.
Because I see a lot of value in doing that. It's all behavior, I think. Once the behavior is straightened up, because you should be willing to, I always say that three qualities I look for any person that I'm coaching it. One is you have to be highly coachable, you have to be highly decisive, and you have to be highly resourceful. So these are the three qualities I absolutely look and admire. If you have these three things, then everything else is figured out. We can figure out everything else. Everything else is figure outable.
Right. Yeah.
That's one of the things.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I love that you brought that up because I saw some video on your Instagram before we had hopped onto the call. And you were talking about on somebody else's podcast, but you literally mentioned this. You're like, I can give you all the strategies, all the tactics, like the entire playbook and give you every single piece. But if you're not in the right mindset, nothing's going to happen.
It's game over. Because for me, if you ask me like, what was the inflection point for you? Because I was stuck in mid six figures for a while. And not able to make that, you know, leap over. And one of the fundamental things that I discovered was the mindset. My mindset was not tuned in. That was the reason. And it took me a lot of time and a lot of money to figure it out because I have to shell so many dollars with other coaches and other programs and all those things to figure out this is the ultimate thing. That's one thing, man. If I can teach anyone, and if I have 5 minutes, I would say just focus on your mindset, build your mindset, invest in yourself. That's the biggest investment that you ever do. Especially like your podcast is profit your knowledge. So you build knowledge only when you invest in yourself.
Yeah.
This is not something you buy. You cannot buy it. You have to invest in yourself and you work, and that's how you build it. And the beauty about knowledge is it compounds over years.
Mm-hmm. And it stays with you. Once you know something,
you know,
you could like lose everything, Rafi. Everything goes straight to the sewers and you would build yourself right back up.
So
no problem because you know, you have the knowledge.
Yes, absolutely true. And I've seen this again and again. Probably you might have seen this with others too. It is very, very important.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I know if I lost everything, I'd be like, okay, I'm just going to build it back up. It's all good. And it's happened before. So yeah, stuff happens. But so mindset. Okay. I get it. That's what sent you. There was a launch pad to the next level. You were stuck at mid six figures. People are like, I'd be happy with mid six figures, but still everyone has some sort of like threshold where they get stuck. For you, you were stuck at mid six figures. You wanted to go beyond to seven figures plus. What was it after all that investing, after all that trying things and tinkering? When you tell me it's your mindset, I'm like, nice. Okay. What does that mean? You know, mindset's such a buzzword nowadays. So what specifically was it when you were studying and practicing with your mindset that caused you to get over that plateau you were facing?
With mindset, usually mindset is like building like muscle, you know, like a physical, like you go to the gym, you build a muscle. Because the natural tendency of a human being is to lose capacity, whether it is physical or mental. Say after whatever certain age, you don't work out, your body loses strength. That's its natural capacity. a lot of people say that, yeah, and I'll do it when I do it. It doesn't work that way. The same thing goes for the mental mindset. If you don't nurture your mindset, I teach in my program, like read, write, meditate. These are the three things. Well, we go full on. These are non-negotiables in our program. So read, write, meditate. So these are the things, how you cultivate your mindset. You nurture your mindset. What is that you read? How is that you read? When is that you read? What is that you write? How is that you write? When is that you write? And meditate. So there are like 10,000 different techniques that you could do. All these things help a person to build that mindset muscle. Just give you an example. Say you're running a coffee shop or something like that. And you shut down the coffee shop, you went home. In morning, you came back and everything was burnt to ground. Everything was burnt to ground. You have insurance, thankfully. What is the next thing that you're going to do? It's nowhere in the textbook. The one thing which will save you not to make that next mistake is your mindset. If your mindset is dialed in, then you would automatically know what are your next steps. Do I go into panic mode? A lot of people in online or industry talk about competitors. That's one of the things. And I listen to those things and I laugh at it. What is it you're talking about competitors? What you can offer, no one else can offer. That's what is unique about you, especially in the service industry. That's what makes you unique. Because the other person cannot bring your experiences. The other person cannot bring your emotion to it. The other person cannot bring, you know, their lifelong learnings to it. It's their thing. And this is yours. The world is a much bigger place. The pie is so big, there's so much to go around. But we lose that because we don't have that mindset. And we hear, oh, like, you know, I lost this client to a competitor. What are you even talking about? If you get like 10 clients, like in one day, you can't even handle it. In one day, people who say that, oh, I want more clients, like I want more business or I want more. If you really get 10 clients, say you run a coffee shop, you go ask any restaurant, internally, how do they feel about the lunch rush? Of course, they like the money.
Yeah.
But the lunch rush, they hate it deep down inside because they're like, they can't handle it. And after lunch hour, you go, they're so relaxed. They're so relaxed. That's what I say that it's not enough. So it all boils down to mindset. Like, when do you stop? You were saying that for someone, mid six figures is great. Yeah, like I'm not saying something is right or wrong with that. It's all about your mindset. But someone is even happy with $60,000, making $60,000 every year. And they've been making that for, God knows, 30 years. So it all boils down to that mindset. So that's what I say that. Yeah, of course, like mindset is a buzzword. There's a lot to it. Probably one podcast will not be enough for us to scram everything into one. But it is one of, for me, that is the paramount. That is the ultimate thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's what allows you to execute and to strategically plan, you know, and when things don't go well, the whole place burns down. You're like, oh, that sucks. You know, that hurts. What's the plan? You know, and get back on track instead of just like curling up in a ball and crying. It's exactly. Like, that's all mindset.
Yeah, exactly. That's the reason, like on average, all the businesses, like 80% of the businesses, they go underwater in the first 3 years. Mm-hmm. Because if your mindset is not dialed in, it doesn't matter whether you have $1 million or $2 million in your bank account, because your mentality is still trailer park mentality. You're mm-hmm. still living there. Your hardware is upgraded. Your software, still iOS 6. That's but your awesome. Phone is 14 Pro. Do you think it's going to work?
No.
As simple as that. Because, see, hardware is easy to sell. If I say that, if I put an ad which says, I'll teach you how to make like I don't know $1 million in the next 200 days. You will see like 1,000 likes and 100 comments on that post. Mm-hmm. But if you say that, I'll teach you how to work on your mindset and everything else in your life you would be able to figure out, I'll tell you what, zero.
Yeah.
Zero likes and zero comments, because people are not interested in that, because it is intangible, right? You can't see it. You can't feel it. But that's what does the magic. Like, the magic is not in the iPhone. The magic is in the software inside it.
Mm. I love that. That's such a great example. Rafi, you know, you've been an entrepreneur, been in business for a long time, helped people with financial advisors, obviously, but just people with earning an income. You know, what advice would you give to someone who's thinking about getting started in an online business, like teaching online and sharing their knowledge?
I usually say that the three things, I also teach this in our program. Your message, be very clear and concise about your message. Very specific. And that message has to be an outcome. I help people with irritable bowel syndrome. Unless until you have IBS, you don't know what an IBS is. So when you're saying that, in 100 people, say you get on a stage and you take a mic and you say, I help people with IBS. Out of those 100 people, only the person who has IBS will come and talk to you. And trust me, that makes your life so much easier because then you don't have to deal with junk.
Right. Cuts through the noise.
Sometimes you get like here and there some people, but at least your message is clear and it goes to that. Then be clear about your market, your target audience. I wanted to help anyone and everyone, 18 plus, male, female, you know, whatever. It doesn't work that way. Be very, very specific. I wanted to help people who are over age 55 and who live in this neighborhood or who have this kind of lifestyle. That's my specific audience. I wanted to help women who are over 35 and who are professionals and who make six-figure income. Very specific. I help people to improve their golf game in the next 14 games. Very specific. So being specific about the outcome and having the target market who you wanted to work with. So that's, we call it the three M's, the message and the market and the media. That's very important, especially given the social media these days. You wanted to make sure you go to the media where your audience are. I'll tell you about myself. I hate social media between us.
Between everyone here.
I don't like being on social media.
Yeah.
If same. It wasn't for the business, I would never want it to be on social media. That's my personality. Right? So, but now I'm doing business. And my audiences are on LinkedIn or Facebook or Instagram or TikTok. I have to go there so that I can find them. I cannot sit at home. Yeah, I can send out mailers. That would work to a certain extent. But my message would not reach my target audience if I don't utilize the media, the medium that I'm using. So the three M's, message, the target market, the market, and the medium. So if these three things are dialed in, especially when you're starting out, if you're very clear, get the clarity. That is very important. Get the clarity around these three things. It will make your life much, much easier. And the easiest way to do this is find someone who has already done it. Because then you can cut short. Because there's such a big learning curve. Just crafting the message. I help so many advisors to craft the message. And these are some of the advisors have been in the business for 20, 30 years. It's not like some newbie person. Even they are not clear about their message. I help anyone and everyone. No, that's not going to fly. We need to be specific. So if you have these three things dialed in, then launching, it's super easy. It could be intimidating. That is why like hiring someone who can help you with that, a coach or joining a mastermind program, or like whatever it works out for you. That is really, really important in my opinion.
No, I love that. That's so simple and so clear, which is beautiful. Simplicity and clarity. Yeah, super, super important. And it's worth putting in the time. It's like laying a foundation for a house. You know, you're like, oh, I want the paint on the walls and the furniture in the house. Like, okay, well, if you don't get a good foundation, your house is going to fall over and then you're going to lose all that furniture, you know? And it is the important bedrock. And I think if you're not really seeing the kind of business that you want, just to take a look at your brand again and take a peek at it and think about that. So awesome advice. I love that. I do want to ask you, based on your career, you know, as a whole with being an entrepreneur, what's something that you wish someone would have told you early on, Rafi?
I sound like a broken record. Comes back to the same thing. If someone would have told me that the help is available out there, go seek it, because I could have saved so much time and so much money. Money is okay, you know, because I know I can make it up, but the time, because it's a limited resource, it would have saved quite a bit of time if I would have known where to go, who to talk to, and what to do. Because I always say that it's not just having a coach in your corner or someone who you can lean on and get advice on, and having a community. That's very, very important. Because a coach cannot be there 24/7.
Right. Like still a person.
You can coach a person only to a certain degree. But when you are in that community, it could be a Facebook group or like whatnot. When you are in that community, you get to learn from others. Those two things, like hiring a coach, because only professionals hire a coach. If some people say that I'm never going to work with a coach, I laugh at it. Yeah, of course. Like the guy who's playing at the junior high school level, probably he's not looking for a coach, but Michael Jordan is looking for a coach.
Right.
Yeah. Michael Phelps, he has a coach. Mm-hmm. Usain Bolt, he has a coach. And these guys are at the top of their game. Why do you need a coach when you're already there? That's the importance of coach. When I realized how big of an impact a coach can have in your career or in your entrepreneurial journey, it was day and night, man. It was really day and night. Mm-hmm. So that's why I say that having a coach in your corner, who you can work with and who can see your blind spots.
Yep.
That's very important. Who can coach you, who can actually give you the hard truth, not sugarcoat it.
Mm-hmm.
Just give you the raw version. Dude, suck it up. This is what it is.
Yeah.
You suck at this. Not to sugarcoat it, and the community to support you. Because when you are in the community, you learn from others' failures. You get motivated from others' successes.
Mm-hmm.
So that helps. So these two things are very key. And if someone would have told me this, it would have been a lot better.
Yeah, would have made the journey a bit faster.
A bit faster.
Just sure. A little bit. Awesome, Rafi. Well, thank you so much for the time, for hanging out, and the stories and knowledge that you've dropped. We're going to come in here for a landing, but where can people learn more about you and get connected?
So they can get onto the website, www.peacefuladvisorlifestyle.com. I'm going to send out a link as well so that you can share with the audience. And they can find me on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, wherever they are, because I'm there. So where they are. So they can find me up, they can look me up, Rafi Sheikh, and they can send me or they can tag me when this episode comes out. If they find something interesting that they found to learn, they can just tag me and they can find me there.
Awesome. Right on, dude. Thanks. We'll make sure we get links down in the description. For the listener, we talked a lot just about the entrepreneurship journey, you know, messaging, all this kind of stuff is so important, but I think that the part that I just want to hit home a little bit more on is just the mindset aspect. And even my business coach, he is like very at a very high level, and he's in this new group that it, to him is extra high level, you know, like 8-figure earners and stuff. And he's a little guy, and he's investing in his mindset. And when he brought that story up, I was like, it's just so interesting that like, I feel like the people, when you get start in the journey, they're all about tactics and hacks and stuff. And then when they get more advanced in the journey, it turns into mindset. And that's what they're investing in, is their mindset and sharpening the axe. So it's a never ending journey. The sooner you start, you know, Rafi's examples of like journaling, meditation, reading, all that kind of stuff, that helps so much and just fuels the mind, which is going to help you build a stronger mindset. So biggest thing though, is that you listen to this episode, re-listen to it, and you do something. Implementation is your only superpower. So take what you learned here, get out there, make something happen, and we will see you in the next one.